Amen. Well, slowly it's working. Terry and Frankie's here this morning, and David, hallelujah. Yeah, so good to have you back home with us, and it's not that they've not been with us in spirit, but hallelujah, we're moving along. Kim and Nancy talked to Eldo and Iris this morning, and they're slated for get their vaccination this week. And then 3 weeks later, they're shooting to be back here in church with us. So, and we're sure looking forward to it. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming this morning. And every time we get together, there's an opportunity to release the goodness of the Lord. There's something about it. He said, when two or three of you gather together in my name, and then he said, two's better than one, and he gives you a whole list of reasons why. And then he also said that two can put 1,000 to flight, or one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. And so can you understand what happens when we gather together? You always have him with you, don't you? But when we gather together, he said, pray beyond the earth like it is in heaven. Tell me something about that scene when you see it there. Did anybody see heaven? Did John the Revelator, was it opened up? Did he see heaven? Tell me something about the scene. It said 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands upon thousands. And tell me what was right in the middle. And there was a throne right in the center. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee. Midst of thee. Well, I know he's in the midst of me, but you want to hear a mystery? But thee is a plural Hebrew word there. I know you want to just, and we want to say, well, I just got it, and that's enough right here. And thank God, you know, he'll never leave you. But something is multiplied. Boy, don't you love the multiplication? Something's intensified. I was sharing with somebody, I think it was Sarah last week, in Newton's, one of the, I'll probably say it wrong, but one of the steps in his in that law of gravity. You know, gravity is a force field. It not only draws to, it also pushes away. There's a force field. That the thing that pushes you away is the same gravity that pulls you. There's a force field in between us. And when we line up together, here's what happens. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. When two objects in the same dimension approach each other, there's some we can call it chemistry, or there's some action in between us. And you may not feel it, but it's there, and so here's what they do. We can, if you want to give it numbers, if I say the distance between me and David right now is 10, then, and we'll start off with then the force field between us, this drawing us to one another is also 10. But if I get closer to him, come on, draw near to the Lord. But if I get closer, let's say I get twice as close. So the 10 now is no longer 10, but let's make it as twice, so it's 20. But you know what happened to the power that's between us? That's what I thought. I said, well, it doubles as well, doesn't it? But no, let's go back. Remember, one puts 1,000 to flight. Two puts 10,000 to flight. And the power between us then, there's a square factor involved. And it's 10 times 10. So we get twice as close, and now the power between us is 10 times 10, not just 10 doubled. Oh, don't you want to get close again? Then let's just get twice as close. Draw near to the Lord. Come to me. No wonder he says, come to me. You want to hear this? It says, oh, come unto me. Now watch this. Because all that pressure that's around you, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed, for I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my might. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden light. I'm trying to share with you, that's how the burden gets pushed away. That's how the darkness is made to flee when you draw near to him. And then when we draw near to one another, oh, I want to preach Easter already. I'm going to do the... When we see this and we draw near to him this way, something is released this way. Did you know if you'll draw near to him, people this way will be set free? Say, oh, I want to do something for him. Here's what you can do for him. Draw near to him. Get full of him. Hallelujah. And watch what happens. We want to work on our kids, don't we? Our kids probably want to work on us too. You want to work on your wife. Your wife wants to work on you. He needs some help. And I feel led to give it to him. No, draw near to the Lord. Watch what happens. Draw near to him. And power is released this way. Praise God. Multiplied power. So grace and peace be multiplied to you. Come on, is the grace of God enough? It's enough for you, isn't it? But listen, when you draw near to him, what happens? The grace and the peace of God is multiplied. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, praise God. Well, John, give us a report on how's Margo's mom?
Margo's real encouraged. We had a nice visit. Hannah came in town from California, was spent 3 days with us, and wow, she had a wonderful time with the family that's here, and also with Margo's mom, Nana, as she's called, Ann. And she's about the same. She's not eating a whole lot, and so she sleeps quite a bit, but she's so positive, so thankful and thoughtful, and as we share stories, and she's just, she remembers things, and she's just... She's real positive, so I hope I'm that way when I'm just so grateful. She's just real thankful. Always, she still thanks me for a reclining chair that I found at a consignment shop that was like 2 weeks ago, and I get thanked probably every day for it because it's blue. It matches her couch, and she loves that color, so she was so happy with it. It's comfortable, and she can rest in it. So anyway, so we're just praying Lord's will be done. Her time be full. What God promised for her, and so we're grateful. Thank you for your prayers.
Praise God. Well, thank the Lord. Anybody got a testimony this morning, something you'd like to share before we... Yes.
David. What I wanted to share was what he's been putting on my heart is Israel, but in particular, not just Israel, I was thanking the Lord for my daughter for letting me move in, and John taking, you know, being very thoughtful of me, and I think I was there 2 years before I got angry. He looked at me like, I didn't know you had that in you. Anyways, anyways, that's not a good thing, but the neat thing about John is he forgot about it. I mean, not only did he forgive, he threw it like God does. You know, he did exactly what he was supposed to. But what my heart is for Israel is for the elderly, those that were around and they went through Auschwitz or any of those camps. Now they're by themselves. They don't have any family to take care of them. So my heart is leading towards giving more to the Christian Fellowship and Jewish, whatever that organization is. I would recommend any of you that are our age to really think about that. I mean, those people are poor. They live on a very small stipend, and some of them live in cold shacks. And we're talking about those in Russia in particular because they can't do that flight anymore since COVID. They stopped all the international travel. So they used to try to get them to Israel, where they really need to be, and it stopped. So anyways, it's a good organization you might want to think about. Thank you.
Have a seat, son.
Amen. Good. Hallelujah. Remember God's people. Well, amen. Anybody else have something you want to share this morning? I want to invite you to come next Sunday. Of course, it's going to be a different Easter season this year than we've ever had. But I feel like the Lord, well, I'm going to preach a message this morning that's an introduction into the Easter message that I'll have for you next week. And they all tie together. It's amazing. At the very time when I found this mystery in chapters 5 and 6 in the Song of Solomon and how it ties in with the Easter story. And so this morning will be a preface into our Easter message. I'm so thankful that not only is His mercy new every morning, but you can have a fresh word from the Lord and fresh and new understanding. And I feel like the Lord has given me I think it's the most exciting Easter message, the greatest of my understanding of it that I've ever had. And so if you can come next Sunday, we'll look forward to being together. Praise God. Well, amen. All right, I'd like to begin this morning continuing with the scenes of love that we find in the Song of Solomon. That's the Song of Songs. That's the EST, or the superlative of the songs. In other words, this is the greatest of revelations. And isn't it amazing how mysterious it is? It's a mystery story. And in this story, it's given as an allegory. And then you have to rely upon the Holy Spirit to make it come to life for you and make it very personal. And so we invite you to do that today. Holy Spirit, would you come and would you open up our hearts and soften us so that we can find ourselves, see you more clearly, and find ourselves and your great love for us and the fruitfulness that you have destined for us as your bride. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Praise God. We left off in chapter number 5 last week, and so I'd like to begin, see chapter 5, verse number 6. Do you remember? We were talking about when she wakes up, because what happened to the bride, what happened to the Shulamite? This is after they had been together. They have become united, and she's experienced his love for her, and he's experienced her answer back in love for him. But what happens then? She falls asleep. And when she falls asleep, he comes to her in his faithfulness. And I shared with you last week that was a prophetic picture of the church, the bride of Christ, that after a couple of centuries, the great change that came to Christianity and the glory that came out of that initial interaction, the opening up of our hearts to him, how sleepiness overtook the church and the call to awaken. And then the groom comes and knocks. And remember, he puts his hand on the latch of the door. And that's the heart. It causes her heart to long for him. Now, even though she longs for him, she's still in that sleepy state. And you'd think that I'm trying to explain where we've been and what we're coming out of right now. It's not that we don't know him. It's not that we haven't experienced him. It's that we need a freshness. We need a fresh awakening. It's that we need to have the joy of the Lord stirred up in us again. The joy of our salvation needs to come to the surface. The great anticipation, what they had in the first century that was released in the way of power and glory in the presence of the Lord, needs to be upon us again. And it's not that we haven't known him, but it needs to be stirred up and made fresh. And so he knocks on her door and her heart yearns for him. And she finally gets up and she looks for him, but a change has taken place. And I want to speak to you, and I'll be speaking to you next week and for sure in the Easter story about the great change that took place when he was very present with her. And then when she falls asleep, he comes knocking, and this time he's knocking. I remind you again of Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What door is it you think that he's standing at knocking? The door of your heart. So I'm just sharing this. It's an inner thing now. And so it's the latch. And because look, when he's knocking on the latch and puts his hand on the latch of her door, that's when my heart, I see the door and my heart, when my heart then started yearning for him. And so I opened up. And so when I opened up, what do you think she expected to see when she opened up that door? Because he had been knocking. The one that she had known, right? Do you think she knew how he looked? Do you think she had an anticipation of what he would be, how he would be coming to her? Come on, think with me for a minute, because this is a mystery. It's an allegory, and I want you to get the story. It's a parallel with what happened with the church of Jesus Christ. The church opened up her heart to him. The two became one. And then in that sleepy time, and then he comes knocking, and she's expecting him to be just like he was before, coming to him in the same way. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but do you remember how one of his closest followers was looking for him and came and even said, "Where is he?" And because she didn't recognize him. Because why, do you think? A change had taken place. Hadn't it? And I want to talk to you about that change that's taken place. So somebody says, well, and it says here, it says, I arose to open to my beloved, and my hands were dripping with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh on the handles of the lock. I opened it up. I opened for my beloved, but look at verse number 6. But my beloved, what happened? Had turned away and was gone. Now, when I tell you that this is an allegory, and then I also tell you and remind you that that we interpret the Word of God by the Word of God, and you put the Scriptures together to get the understanding of the Scriptures. Everybody remember how we have to do that? Because it would be real easy to see, well, I can just expect, I guess he's gone now, isn't he? But did the Lord say anything to his beloved even right before he left? And did you know that when he speaks a word to you, it's always for you? It's always for a reason? Can I tell you what he spoke to them just before he left? He said, I'll return to you. And he wanted them to know something. I will never, now you help me. I will never what? Leave you nor forsake you. Now watch. She opened the door for him now. And what did she say from her perspective? He's gone. Gone. How many of you think he was gone? See, it's kind of a mystery in here. And you're going to get it here in a minute. And it's going to, oh, the great joy. A great change has taken place. And this is the shifting of gears. This is the wonderful power of the gospel. Do you know what the gospel, who knows what the mystery of the gospel is? Who knows, huh? Is Christ where? Christ. What is the mystery? See, that's the hidden truth. What's the mystery of the gospel? Christ in you. The hope of glory. See, what was she anticipating? What was she looking for? She opened the door and she expected him to be there. And she said, he's gone. But my beloved had turned away and was gone. But listen to this. Doesn't make sense, does it? My heart leaped up when he spoke. When he spoke, I thought he was what? Gone. Was he gone? My heart leaped when he what? My heart leaped when he spoke. I love it when the Word of God comes together. See how you interpret the Word of God by the Word of God? Let's go back to Mary again. Mary, tell us about your experiences. Well, I mean, do you know him? I know him. How do you know him? I know what he looks like. I'm aware. Yeah, and she said, even though he was right there with her, she said, where is he? He is gone. And he spoke her name, didn't he? And he said, Mary. And what happened to her? She said, my Lord, my God. Her heart leaped within her. Do you see that story? Come on, how many of you see the story? See that Easter story in this? She said, I opened the door for him, but he was gone. But he spoke to me, even though I thought he was gone. My heart leaped when he spoke. And I sought him and could not find him. How many of you know, says, my sheep know my voice. They come when I call. How many of you know and you've answered that call? You know, he's personally touched you, called you. But how many of you are still seeking him? She says, even though he spoke my name, my heart leaped when he spoke. He says, but I sought him. And I sought him and I couldn't find him. And I called him. And it seemed like he gave me no answer. And the watchmen who went about the city, they found me and they struck me. And they wounded me and the keepers of the walls. See, she went through it. And he took my veil away from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, tell him that I'm lovesick. And so we have this picture of a lovesick church. And it's not that we don't have his presence with us, but we want to see his glory. And so the question then, they ask her, what is your beloved so more than any other beloved, O fairest among women? And why is it that you won't quit seeking him and coming after him? And he answers, and she says, because there's none like him. He is so great. There's nobody who can touch me like he touches me and do for me what he has done for me. Hallelujah. Now we're ready for chapter number 6. Are you ready? Praise God. So the question now is, where has he gone? She says, he has gone. And we're asking you, where has he gone? In chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, let's see what it says. She asked then, the daughters of Jerusalem, they ask, where has your beloved gone, O fairest among women? Where has your beloved turned aside? Remember, she said, my beloved is gone, he's turned aside. It's kind of different language, but I want you to get it. Where has your beloved gone, and where has your beloved turned aside? In other words, the way we'd say that is now, where is he and what's he doing? Turned aside. It means turned aside to what? That turned aside phrase means, what's he doing? What's he about now? Because, you know, what was he about before? I'm trying to lead you into this. What was he about before? Her. Wasn't he? Was he all wrapped up in her? Now, I don't want you to think he's not all wrapped up in her still. But I want you to get something. I want you to know something. There's a fruitfulness that's going to come out of this relationship that she hasn't had her eyes opened up to yet. And then I want to prophesy over you today. God has so set his affection upon you. He has such a passion, such a love for you. He has laid down everything just to get to the place where you are. And we think, oh my God, nobody's loved me like he's loved me. Couldn't get any better than this. Oh yes, it can. Because you just wait and see. And then, so we say, okay, let's just keep this going. And he says, no, it's not going to stay the same. We used to sing a song that said, I will never be the same again. Hallelujah. I know you want to go back and do that same thing again, but you'll never be the same again. It's not going to be just that. There's more. God's got his hand on you. He has come to you for a reason. And so I know he just loves me so much. And thank God he does. But he's going to bring you into a different place than you've ever been. And the great joy of the Lord, the joy that you have is going to become joy that's unspeakable. Amen. Where is your beloved turned aside that we may seek him with you? And so what is the answer, do you think? Verse number 2. You want to hear it? My beloved has gone to his garden. Now, do you remember earlier when I read this that she called herself the garden? You know, when God starts his creation, what did he start with? He started with a garden place, didn't he? Amen. Hebrew word for that is gan. My beloved has gone to his garden. Now watch. Here's the mystery. It starts off with a great relationship with her, and she is so just in rapture with it. And it's going to be expanded. And watch what happens, because all of the words in verse number 2, do you see the word garden? Look at the last part of verse number 2 and see if you see the word garden again. But what's it called here? Gardens. Did you hear? Lori said gardens. Where is he? Where's he? Where's he turned aside to? He said, well, he came to his garden. And by the time we get to the end of that verse, where is he turned aside to? His gardens. Now look, praise God. I got this whole list up here. You ready? See him? From garden to gardens. From bed. Do you read it there? From bed. Did he come to her bed? He did, didn't he? But now, where is he? Did he turn aside? To beds. From spice to spices. From sheep to flock. Huh. Whew! Isn't it great? And from, remember when she said, I am the lily of the valley. Look at this lily. There's a lily. I'm the lily, but where is my beloved now? He has turned to the lilies. Could it be that he loves you the same way? Could it be? You know what she said earlier? She said, his banner over me is love. Just a few verses down, the banner is turned into banners. God is bringing you into something wonderful. I'm going to talk to you now. Let's step back. The joy and the responsibility of reigning with him is to go from garden to gardens. If he has planted and sown his word in you, holy seed, and if he has come to you and he made you his garden place. Remember when Jesus planted a garden, this is one of the parables, said he takes good care of it. He dug a ditch all around it. He built a wall around it. He built a tower and set watchmen to guard it. But this now, the garden, or the one garden, is turned to gardens. And in that joy and the responsibility of realizing that God has expanded and he's doing the same thing in other people. And if I thought it was wonderful that I had this relationship with him, then what could be better than that? Okay, now we're ready for the next one. Let me tell you this. I'm going to remind you of this. And I gave you part of this once before, but Shulamite. This lady is called the Shulamite. there's a, remember, this is a mystery now. There's hidden wisdom that's in this story. So if you'll, those of you that want to study, you get out your commentaries and study, and there's a snag with the word Shulamite, because they think that the word, most of them say this, they say it's probably fouled up somehow when they translated, because she's not from, there's one city that's got the L in it like that, but the city that this girl is from is Shunan, and it's a Shunanite, is where she, that's what she'd be called, but it's not a Shunanite, she's called the Shulamite. And so anyway, so if you want to pull this up on your computer and just type in Shulamite, and it'll say maybe a young lady from the city of Shunan, and probably not the exact pronunciation, but maybe could be Shulamite come out of that. The second definition, number two. So that's number one. Number two, Shulamite happens to be the feminine name, the feminine Hebrew name of Solomon. They're attached. And Solomon, if you don't know the do you know what Solomon means, what the name Solomon is, or what the root of the Hebrew word Solomon is? Let me say it. Solomon. What do you think it is? You can almost hear it in there if you listen. It is. It's Shalom. Solomon comes out of Shalom. I'm talking to you about the Prince of Peace here. Amen. Now, so what I wanted you to get is this lady is the feminine name of the masculine Solomon. Solomon, Shulamite. The two become one. And out of that, here comes all this, comes this fruitfulness. And when the two become one. So there's the, all right, let's drop down to verse number six, in chapter six. Verse number 13, all the way at the end of the chapter. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon you. What would you see in the Shulamite? Anybody? What would you see in the Shulamite? As it were, this is what you'd see. The dance of the two camps. Do you see the mystery? Do you see what's happened here? This is the two becoming one together. This is the bride and the groom. And the two becoming one. This is the dance of the two camps. I wish I could dance. The two becoming one together. What a beautiful story. Well, that's my message to you this morning. I don't know if you get it or not. So let me tell you one more thing. In Hebrew culture, this is the last point. In the Hebrew culture, after a wedding is done, this is what, in fact, it's even in the law, but we don't do it now. You know, it's like those laws that we read about, but we don't do. But whenever a bride and a groom, they would spend the first, anybody remember? Not week. 7 years. How would you like to have a 7-year honeymoon? Okay, kids, just get away. Get to know each other. This is for you. This is your time. They prepared. Now you understand all that dowry stuff, don't you, and all that. All the, gotta take a lot of, that's a lot. And so over the time then, it's been reduced for practical reasons, but you still want to have, see, in the initial part of that relationship, what's it about? It's about you and him. I'm telling you, when you're the bride of Christ, and in this initial part of the relationship, what's it about? In the secret place of the Most High, the two become one. And you get to know one another. You fellowship together. You build together. You set your goals together. He shares his heart with you. She shares his heart with him. And the two had that wonderful intimacy time together. And what's the result of the two having that wonderful private intimacy time together? Fruitfulness, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? I keep referring, Candy's here this morning, and I preached about her when she wasn't here. How I loved her face, I loved her toes, I love her ears, I love her fingers. I went down the list just like Solomon did with that Shulamite. And I didn't think there couldn't be anything better than this. This is the greatest, this is the best that it could ever be, until something happened. You know what it was? Out of that great love, we just had Tammy over to our house last Friday, and we went through this story with her. And Candy told her, says, "Your dad, I've never seen him look. I've never seen the look on his face like what was on his face when he came in and she was laying on that bed." And she said, "Honey, she is the most beautiful." Remember who used to be the most beautiful? And it's not that, see, I want you to get this right. It's not that she's still not the most beautiful. She still is. But because she's the most beautiful, look what the Lord has done. And it was multiplied. We found that key. It was multiplied. And she was the most beautiful little thing. And the love that we had, how many of you think the love that we had was diminished after that? But see, but the focus of it, how many of you know that if things would, I will never be the same again. I was never the same after I met her. But then after we started having kids, believe me, I'm still in this mode. I'll never be the same again. The multiplication of that love. What I want to share with you today is that I don't care now. Somebody might say, "You should have told me this when I was young, because now I'm old, and now you're talking to me about multiplication and fruitfulness." And okay, you Abrahams and Sarahs, because you see, I'm not talking about physical things at all. I'm talking about God, who separated an Abraham and a Sarah, and they became his covenant partners. And out of that intimate relationship, he gave them a promise. And Abraham would say to him, "It can't be any better than to know you." And God spoke his name to him and revealed, and he entered into covenant with him. It's the Abrahamic covenant. And could there be anything better? Oh, yes, the new one is better. The new one is better than the old one. But the new one comes out of the old one. And the old one is there for this. And I'm just telling you, I don't care how old you are, there's a season of fruitfulness that he has destined for you. If you say, "But I'm 90, he was 99, she's 90. And still the promise of God was, "You're not too old." I'm telling you, you're not too old to bear fruit of the Holy Spirit. You're not too old to win souls. You're not too old to release the love. I know he has set his affection upon you. And I know what caused you to go to sleep. After all of that comes the sleep. And now comes the awakening, because there's more. So I came to speak to an Earlene Smith today, and she's in her 80s, but there's more. There's still fruitfulness for you. And you who are in your 40s, it's not, you're not done yet. There's, as a matter of fact, and you say, but I've known him and I'm so thankful that I got to him. I know him, but I know, but there's not only more for you, there is multiplied more for you. If you thought the lily, if you thought it was good to be the lily, wait till you have lilies. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Then comes the time of fruitfulness, of calling and children and doing the work of the ministry. And next Sunday I'll go on with this. That's my introduction into an Easter message. And something wonderful is going to explode, hallelujah, in fruitfulness with the risen Lord. He's not the same as it was. We won't know him after the flesh like we did before. Now we'll know him after the Spirit. And there's a release of something so glorious, so wonderful. All right, amen. Praise God. Can you believe again for souls? Can you believe again for fruitfulness? Can you believe again that God has not, he has set his affection upon you, and that's not the end of the story? That there's a power that's to be released. There's an impact that's to be released. There's one looking at me back there right now. Now he turned away. He wasn't. Oh, there he is. See that guy? I thought, now look at the one holding him. See there? I just loved that one holding him. And look what happened. Ha! Praise God. Avail yourself to that secret place of the Most High. Let him love you. Just release all your heart to him in that wonderful, intimate way, and then expect and know that that's not the end of the story. There's fruitfulness. There's songs that'll come flowing out of that relationship. There's peace that's going to come flowing out of that relationship. See, that's physical fruit. I'm talking now. Look, there's love toward others that's going to come flowing, multiplied out of that relationship. And you'll say, I thought it couldn't get any better, but it's getting better every day. Father, I bless this congregation now in the name of the Lord as we get ready to send them into their week. I thank you, Lord, for your love being set upon us and for that intimate time, personal time where you speak wonderful things to us. Lord, I can't hardly wait for the season when you're speaking wonderful things through us. I'm thankful, Lord, that you loved us, and I can't wait to love somebody in your name the way that you love us. I can't wait to spill over on somebody the great mercy that you showed me. Lord, when I was lost and undone, you forgave me. Lord, I can't wait till you bring somebody into my path that'll say, I am dark. And I'll say, yes, but you are lovely. And God sees your heart, and he has released his love toward you. And to watch that blossom out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't it great? Come on, amen. I just preached to you the best message that you'll ever hear. Hallelujah. Praise God. And here's the good news. It's going to get better because he's not done yet, is he? Amen. All right. Praise God. Lord bless you. Thank you for coming today. Hallelujah. Amen. Shake hands and love somebody in the name of the Lord, will you?
Faithful God to